The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Hey, good morning, everyone. You made it. It's Friday, May 29th. Glad to have you along this morning on this edition of TalkBack. And we have open phones later on, but we have some guests coming in. Actually, Henry Kriegel will be joining us here in about 5 minutes. And we also have the crime report coming up this hour. And as a special guest from 9 to 10, David Sanders, who is running for the Public Service Commission District 5, is going to be joining us taking your phone call. So lots going on here today here on TalkBack. And I wanted to find out, did you notice the big downpour last night, Nick?
Oh, yeah. Loud, all over the place. Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't think it was quite nearly as bad as Wednesday night was, but yeah, it was pretty bad.
I thoroughly enjoy standing in the doorway, watching the rain come down and watching the lightning and the thunder, and just keeping my fingers crossed that nobody gets hurt. You know, I mean, that's the important thing, but it is a beautiful thing to watch. And especially since I just mowed my yard, I was glad I didn't have to water it. So,
yeah, well, and then, yeah, because you can't really mow wet grass either. So it's a good thing you got it done. But yeah, I mean, the lightning, you know, that's always questionable this time of year because, you know, we could potentially spark some wildfires. And right. So anytime, you know, it's been dry for a little while and then we get a lightning storm, it's a little kind of fingers crossed, hoping nothing bad happens. But I didn't hear of anything this morning or last night, so I think we're in the clear.
Yeah, nor did I. I didn't hear any you know, fire engine sirens going places, or, you know, of course, we're right here in the middle of town, so I'm not sure exactly what happened up in the hills, but I have not noticed any reports of spot fires from that thunder and lightning. So if you know anything about it, give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
We did get an update late last night, and I guess it was kind of late afternoon yesterday, and we got it up last night, but the suspect that they were looking for from that pursuit and crash on May 24th, where the Missoula Police Department officer ended up actually crashing into a home on Mary Jane.
Wow.
That suspect fled, and they've been looking for him since then. And yesterday, they got reports of a truck recklessly near Moose Creek Trail and Wyoming Street before fleeing on foot toward the river. And they found the individual and apprehended him and took him into custody without incident. And now he's facing a whole bunch of charges. So that kind of wraps up that that situation. There's still it's still under investigation. But yeah, they that individual is now facing charges of resisting arrest, theft of a motor vehicle, criminal possession of dangerous drugs, criminal possession of drug paraphernalia, criminal endangerment, fleeing from or eluding a peace officer, wow, and burglary with theft. So a whole slew of things there.
You bet. And so I think the lesson that we derive from that is don't do that. If you stay within the limits of the law, you're going to be fine. But when things happen and you try to run from the police, I can pretty much guarantee you it is never going to work out your way. It's going to you'll raise the ire, or I should say the cautionary aspects of the law enforcement as you try to run from them. Don't ever do that. Just pull over, find out what's going on. You know, if you need a ticket, get a ticket, get a ticket. Don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. It's not safe for anybody. So, hey, we're going to come up against a break. We have we already have a caller on the line. Go ahead.
It's Henry.
Henry.
We'll be back with Henry.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with Henry Kriegel right after we have this quick timeout. So stay with us, everybody. On the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Look Lucky Diamond Casino.
Dennis Bragg updating the forecast. A chance of showers and thunderstorms as we head into a wet weekend. We do have another shot of thunderstorms late this afternoon and evening after temps climb into the low 80s. Chance of precipitation about 60%. Rain and thunderstorms continue to rumble Friday night, then rain likely Saturday and Sunday. The chance of precipitation as high as 90% at times. Rains will be heavy too, more than half an inch possible on Saturday. Unseasonably cool with highs barely into the 60s, lows in the 40s.
Hey, it's the Friday, May 29th edition of Talk Back. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And we are excited to have with us Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity for a weekly visit. Henry, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Peter. Thanks for having me on again.
You bet. If you wouldn't mind sharing with folks about what Americans for Prosperity is all about here in Montana. And I know that you have an endorsement you'd like to talk about.
Sure. Americans for Prosperity, the Montana chapter has been here since 2011. I've been here pretty much the entire time since then. We've had some great leadership here in the state, including former Speaker of the House, Senate President Scott Sales, the late great Senator Joe Balliet. And now I work under the direction of Jesse Ramos, whom you guys know in Missoula was a city councilman. And is also doing just an excellent job. We promote policies that enhance individual liberty and freedom of all Montanans, because we believe when government gets out of the way, ordinary people can do extraordinary things. That's our focus. We engage in campaigns as a means to an end, meaning we need to elect policy champions in order to get these great policies enacted into law. So we don't just stop after elections. We're here year-round throughout the state of Montana.
Now, Henry, speaking of elections, I know that you have a slate of candidates that you'd like to talk about and endorse.
Oh, absolutely. We have endorsed 13 for the state Senate and state House. They include Zach Wirth over Lou Jones in Senate District 9, Kathy Love over Dave Beattie over there in Ravalli County, Steve LaPram over Nick Lancet and Mike Talia just outside, just in East Helena. We've got Caleb Hinkle for the Senate District 34 over here in Gallatin County over Shelley Vance and a number of others. We've also on another front with AFP Action, that's our PAC that engages on federal campaigns, we endorsed Kurt Ammey for U.S. Senate. And because Kurt Ammey is a tax cutter, he's born and raised in Montana. As revenue director under Governor Judy Marks, orchestrated the largest tax cut in decades. He's also for public safety as U.S. District Attorney under Donald Trump. He prosecuted drug traffickers and criminals, and he has a proven track record of success. So we've got behind him early on. We found something very interesting during this campaign season, Peter, which I think your audience would also like to know. The likely opponent for Kurt Ammey is Seth Bodner, who is running as an independent.
Right.
Seth Bodner happens to also be endorsed by the Wayback PAC, which is a PAC based in Wyoming. Wayback PAC has endorsed independent and Democratic candidates for governor and U.S. Senate throughout the country, including Osborne in Nebraska. They endorse Seth Bodner. On the local level, Wayback PAC has contributed $250,000 to the so-called Conservatives for Montana Committee, who are supporting the candidates who we oppose in the primaries. Candidates, quote, independently minded Republicans who voted to increase the budget by seven times the rate of population growth, twice the rate of inflation, a 13.5% increase in state spending. They also passed a tax shifting progressive property tax reform bill, which we opposed. They also passed Obama's Medicaid expansion bill to extend coverage to single able-bodied adults without children who ought to be working, not crowding out the aged and infirm. We need that program. So The interesting thing about this is that the Wayback Pack is endorsing the candidate, Seth Bodner, who's got ties to the Tester Baucus machine in the state of Montana, and they have contributed to Conservatives for Montana committee, who are supporting moderate Republicans for state House and state Senate. I find it inexplicable for the Conservatives for Montana committee to even accept the money from a PAC that is working against the interests of those whom they pretend to support, against Republican principles, or in this case, limited government principles. That is, to me, should raise cognitive dissonance within the voters about who are these candidates who Conservatives from Montana is supporting. Why do they even accept the money from the Wayback Pack if the Wayback Pack is supporting candidates for office that oppose their very principles they purportedly are promoting? To me, it's irreconcilable.
So let me ask you this.
Held to account.
Let me ask you this, Henry. Americans for Prosperity, you obviously have a list of candidates that you are endorsing. What can you say, if you could name them and what you can say about them and why they should be elected?
Sure. Okay. That's great. Let's go down the list. Here in Gallatin County, Caleb Hinkle for Senate District 34. He's for cutting government spending. He's for ending Obamacare's Medicaid expansion deal. He's for real judicial reform. He's for so that candidates can declare their party affiliation. He's for cutting government spending so that Montanans won't be burdened with additional taxes and additional costs, so they can live, so that the cost of living will be reduced. This is the common theme throughout all the candidates that we are supporting.
Now, Henry, real quick, I want you to know we only have about a minute left in our time together, so if you could just name them, that would be great.
Oh, man, I wish I had the list right in front of me, if I can get it in just a second, but I don't. Let me try rattling them off.
Okay.
Mary Horman up there in HD 55 versus Brad Barker. Linda Harmon up there versus Valerie Moore up in the High Line. John South over Christensen over there in, also in the High Line area. We've got Kim Daly in Ravalli County in the Hamilton area over former Representative Michelle Binkley. I mentioned Steve LaPram earlier. Zach Worth, this is the big race. Zach Worth versus Lou Jones. We're for Zach Worth because he'll cut spending, whereas Lou Jones has orchestrated the largest spending increases during his 20-year career in the state House and state Senate.
Henry,
that's just a snapshot.
We are out of time. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts. We appreciate it. Thanks for being with Americans for Prosperity, and thanks for sharing your thoughts. We're going to come right back after a quick timeout. More coming up on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Diamond Casino.
Life is full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. A life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
Hey, we're back on TalkBack. It is open phones, and so we appreciate the folks that have been holding through the break. And so Emmett is up first. Emmett, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, I've been enjoying the rainstorms and the lightning and thunderstorms myself. Very nice. And I've noticed since you're statewide, you have a few new callers that call in sometimes. That's kind of nice. But I wanted to talk about, I was interested in the program with John Lott, and he was talking about the admission standards for Yale and Harvard. I tried to call in, but it was kind of too late, and there were a lot of other callers. But it's very depressing that people would be discriminated against in these colleges simply because they're conservatives. They'll only allow liberal students. That's horrible. I could never go to Yale or Harvard or probably any other college in the United States. I'm glad I never went. If I went to college, I'd want to go online. It's just, it's so much for the idea of diversity of thought in these colleges. That's what college was supposed to be about. But also I'd like to talk about, again, the UFO phenomena. I don't think it's a cover-up at all, because people have been seeing UFOs for years, and there have been stories of whistleblowers coming in and deathbed confessions saying, we saw these aliens at Area 51 or reverse-engineered technology. There have been hearings in Congress, and even though I've never been to an alien convention, I consider myself part of the UFO subculture, UFO community, because it's fascinating. Haven't you ever noticed sometimes people seem jaded anymore? They've lost a sense of wonder. I mean,
The problem is, Emmett, is that people, it's their own overload. We have so many different sources of information coming at us now, radio, television, internet, you name it, newspapers. And sometimes what I like to do is just block myself off every now and then and say, I'm just going to let my brain breathe for a while without having constant input.
I agree with that. I agree with that completely. But this is a huge story. This is not just your ordinary story. I mean, if we were to have full disclosure that we've been visited by extraterrestrials, it'd be the most groundbreaking thing since Jesus Christ came to Earth. I'm not trying to be facetious, but this would change humanity and our outlook on the world. It'd be absolutely incredible. Sometimes I feel people have let, if they've heard this story and hadn't believed, they don't have a sense of awe or wonderment anymore. I thought this would be water cooler talk at the, you know, at any kind of office or anything or real estate. Everyone would be talking about this. I have a lot of conspiracy theories about some other things that have been going on, including the space shuttle grounding and some of the rockets that have been destroyed, but I'll let other people talk. But I had to get in my 2 cents for the day. So.
Emmett, thank you for the call, sir. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. What's up?
Hey, good morning, gents. Good morning, Montana. In the Air Force, I was at the Foreign Technology Division, now the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, NASIC, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. And at the time, there was a story that the four aliens supposedly gathered at Area 51 were in storage, cryogenic storage at the Foreign Technology Division. And we would just laugh and laugh because they weren't. And it's one of those things that refuses to die. It's not that people don't want it to be true. I think it would be great. I do personally think there is life on other planets. I don't know what that life looks like. And the distances are so far that it's, Star Trek notwithstanding, we don't have warp drives, and we can't get from place to place except over hundreds of thousands of years. So it's just not true. It would be nice if it was, but it's not. And so there's more real things to worry about. One of those is supposed climate change closer to Earth. I came across this story about a week ago, and it was from 2016. And there was a guy named Guy McPherson, a climate change expert, scientist, and professor from the University of Arizona, was on video saying that there will not be any humans on the planet by 2026 due to the effects of climate change. So I don't know what we're doing here, Peter, but we're not supposed to be here.
Well,
supposed to be gone.
One of my favorite movies is The Day the Earth Stood Still. I'm sure you probably are well aware of that. Michael Rennie was in it. And it was, I as a kid, I was mesmerized by, you know, Gort, the gigantic robot and all that kind of stuff. Oh, that was really cool. And even now, as an adult, I look back on it, and it's a lot of great memories watching shows like that.
Yeah, but we're not going to endanger dying from a changing climate. The climate is changing, and it has changed. As I've said, for thousands, tens of thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years. And I've said before, but I'll say it for the wide Montana audience, where I live here in Polson, exactly where I live, they estimate there was 4,000 feet of ice from the glacier that formed the Flathead Lake. And it's not here anymore. And that started disappearing 14,000 years ago. How did that happen? Did all the native tribes here just cause climate change and cause the glacier to?
We got about 15 seconds, Jeff.
Okay, one more thing. Ultracrepidarian is a word. It's a person who criticizes judges or gives advice outside their area of expertise.
Got it.
I think I may be one of those at times.
We'll be back.
I look forward to hearing
we'll be
more
back right after this.
In a world of
Dennis Bragg updating the forecast, a chance of showers and thunderstorms as we head into a wet weekend. We do have another shot of thunderstorms late this afternoon and evening after temps climb into the low 80s. Chance of precipitation about 60%. Rain and thunderstorms continue to rumble Friday night, then rain likely Saturday and Sunday. The chance of precipitation as high as 90% at times. Rains will be heavy too, more than half an inch possible on Saturday. Unseasonably cool with highs barely into the 60s, lows in the 40s.
Every weekend, Diane Beck and Becky Peterson, the Beck and Beck team at Windermere Real Estate, present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products and services available in our community on Missoula Real Estate Today. Saturday mornings from 8 till 8:30 and replayed Sunday mornings from 10:30 till 11 on News Talk KGVO, FM 98.3 and AM 1290, and on the free KGVO mobile app.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for joining us on this Friday, May 29th edition of Talk Back. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, and Dave is one of those phone calls. Dave, thanks for holding through the break, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, back to Earth. You know, for a long time, yes, corruption. For a long time, I heard from Republicans nonstop about Nancy Pelosi's corruption and how terrible it is. But I hear it, they're quiet now when it comes to Donald Trump. And, you know, like I said before, every president has been audited since 1967, and except for Donald Trump. And, you know, he came in the presidency maybe $1 to $2 billion. Now they're estimating he's $6 billion and climbing fast. And the sweetheart deals that he's pulling and controlling, it's terrible. And the sweetheart deal with the IRS that he won't get audited in the future. Why aren't people speaking up about this corruption and not being, you know, since they spoke up strongly about Nancy Pelosi? And it just bothers me that, you know, watch PBS last night. It told a little bit of it. You know, the information is out there. It doesn't take you know, it, you can do it. Just pick up and look at the information. It's all over the place about the corruption.
It doesn't take a Sherlock Holmes, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, his sons are, and how he's controlling things, it's just, I mean, it makes Nancy Pelosi's money look like peanuts. So, I mean, we should be paying attention to that.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Nancy's on the line. Nancy, good morning. It's Open Phones on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, morning, Gloria. I have two talking points today. I want to talk, you know, they're building a data center near Broadview, Montana. And residents of nearby Klein, which is 6 miles from Roundup, and are receiving letters from DEQ about the dangers of the water. And, of course, it's going to take a lot of water to cool down that computer. And it's planned on going back to the aquifer. So I just, the more I learn about this, the more I'll let others in the state know what's going on here. But we're very, very concerned about the water. And I know Jeff was talking, but I know that at one time Montana was a Sahara Desert. It was prehistoric. And the camel and a huge orangutan originated here. And as we started to cool off, they moved to different regions. And I still think that the Sasquatch is a distant relative of these huge orangutan creatures that once existed in this region of the world. But I want to talk about Cuba. And this is something else that we have to thank President Trump for. I know that they're trying to, end communism there, and it's a long road until it is accomplished. But I just want to tell everybody that I think once we get into Cuba, we're going to actually see the horrors of communism. I think there were a lot of terrible things done to the Cuban people under Fidel Castro. I think we're going to unearth a lot of misery and torture and death in horrible prisons and starvation, and I'm not looking forward to hearing the story, but it's going to be revealed. And the people of Cubans in Miami are ecstatic. They're already packing their bags. They have plans on going back to their homelands to maybe stay or visit relatives and even invest in Cuba once again. And I'm delighted. And we have a battleship, a Navy ship, off the coast of Cuba. It's nuclear powered, and they're just waiting to light up the island. Can you imagine living like as the Cubans have, with anywhere from 2 to 4 hours of electricity a day, or maybe some days none at all?
No.
Because of a power control by the Castro family and the communists. I just can't imagine living like this. So praise the Lord, the Cubans are going to be freed. Thank you, President Trump. And as far as the corruption of President Trump, it just simply does not exist. It is a lie.
Nancy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it, ma'am. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. We'd love to have some more. We have open phones for a little while longer. And at 8:50, 10 minutes tonight, we'll get the crime report from Matt Jennings, Missoula County Attorney. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes. But we have time to take a few more calls at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And again, coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, we'll be hosting David Sanders. David is a Republican running for the Public Service Commission, District 5. He's going to be with us from 9 to 10, taking your phone calls and talking about why he wants to be a public service commissioner. So we're going to be right back with more of Talk Back. Hopefully your phone calls right after this.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hey, it's Friday and it's Talk Back. Thanks for joining us this morning. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. I'm Peter Christian, and Boyd has been waiting the longest to get on. Boyd, good morning and thanks for holding. Go ahead, please. Hi, Boyd.
Hello.
What's on your mind, sir?
I would just like to pass along a compliment and a thank you to the station. Dennis Bragg's morning newscast is great. It's not only local, but it's regional. It fills a much-needed gap. And also for the Western Ag News, that we need that too. So just pass that along to whoever needs to hear it. But we're glad for that.
Well, I'm glad you like it. I will pass that along to Dennis when we see him again. He took the rest of the morning off. But we'll see him on Monday.
All right. Thank you very much.
And thank you for the call, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Jerry's up next. Jerry, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. I'm wondering, this morning there are four positions on the ballot that we have to vote on relating to judges, the Supreme Court judge, the district court judge, and they're all nonpartisan. But I've never heard any information about any of these people that are running for this position as nonpartisan. And I don't know how people can vote for something that you don't know anything about. So I'm just wondering from your audience out there if they could pass on any information that they might have about these nonpartisan votes.
Well, I will tell you, we've had experience with this in years past. I had a friend I went to high school with who was running for a judgeship. And when we had him in the studio, we were talking about, well, tell us why we should vote for you, da-da-da-da. And he said, well, I can't talk about that because as a judge, I'm not allowed to come. So, well, it is very difficult to, without, you know, just you doing your own homework or perhaps the people who are promoting this person for judge is able to provide a list of things that they've done or accomplishments, because it's very difficult for them to try to criticize the judicial system.
I understand that, but I guess I just got to wonder, how can you vote for somebody that you don't know anything about, or you don't know where to go to find something out about them? Does anybody? I keep listening to your program, and nobody mentions it at all. So I'd hope somebody out there could maybe tell us what site we might be able to lock on that tells us something about these people.
I'm looking at Ballotpedia here. I just pulled it up, and for the seat that's currently held by Beth Baker, Amy Eddy is a nonpartisan, and Dan Wilson is a nonpartisan. They're both running for that seat. And again, it's a nonpartisan primary for the Montana Supreme Court. So there you go. And that being nonpartisan is good in some ways, but in other ways, it keeps you from being able to have people endorse you from various parties.
Well, again, if anybody out there could tell us, give me some idea of where I might look to find out something about them, because I'm just not going to vote for them if I don't know anything about them.
Well, so, I'll tell you what. If you go onto Ballotpedia and type in Montana Supreme Court elections, you'll be able to read about them, at least some bio information, and maybe it might help find more ways to find out more about them.
Well, I'll try, and that's one. There's three others. There's on the ballot. There's the District 4 District Judge. There's the Justice of the Peace, the Department 1, and Justice of the Peace Department 2. And all of these people, you know, judges are really important, and so is the Justice of the Peace. So I don't know. That's kind of what I'm calling about. So thank you very much. I'll get on and continue to listen to your program.
Thank you. And continue with your research, because it's up to us to try to find out which individuals are worthy of our vote. I think we have a responsibility to try to find that out. Let's get Susan on next. Susan, good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
I can't speak for the judges that are on the ballot and across the state. They're all different. Every ballot is different, and every judge area is different. But Dan Wilson is a solid conservative. He is a believer in the U.S. Constitution. He is a believer in law and order. He is running to, in enforce the laws that are on the books is not a woke person. So he is not going to make rulings that are against the U.S. Constitution. So for anybody that is listening, including the gentleman just before me, Dan Wilson would be the one to vote for U.S. Supreme Court if you want
For the Montana Supreme Court.
The Montana Supreme Court, sorry. And all the others vary from all of the areas across the state. So it would be inappropriate for me to even comment on everybody's ballot because they're all different. Every election office puts out a booklet that is filled out by the candidates. And they can go to this, and that gentleman can do that. They can also go online. So the information is out there. Candidates are required to fill out information. And if they don't fill out information, personally, I wouldn't vote for them if they're not willing to talk about who they are. So I encourage them to go to their local election office, no matter where they're located in the state of Montana, and find out about the judges especially. I agree with the previous caller that judges are extremely important. This is of the piece. And when you are looking at their record, you want to make sure that they are, in my opinion, strong on crime and not giving a low bail to people that are repeat offenders. And that has been a problem across our country.
Susan,
yeah,
we got to take a break.
Gotta go.
Thank you for the call, ma'am. We're gonna come right back. And when we return, we're going to be talking with Matt Jennings, our Missoula County attorney, with a crime report. That'll be coming up here in just a few minutes. And in the 9 o'clock hour, David Sanders is going to be here in the studio with us. He's running for Public Service Commission District 5. He'll be on. Stay with us.
Hey, if you're waking up.
In the U.S., a vehicle is stolen every 31 seconds. Protect your car. Remove valuables. Roll up your windows. Lock your doors. And take your keys. Report crime to the police. And if it's insurance fraud, contact NICB at reportinsurancefraud.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Hey.
Hey, we're back. This is the Friday edition of Talk Back, and we are always privileged to have with us Matt Jennings, Missoula County Attorney, with the weekly crime report. Matt, good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning, Peter. Thanks so much, as always. Luckily, this week in Missoula, we had sort of a quiet week as far as numbers go. We only filed 8 new felony complaints, and sometimes we get into the mid-20s, and so it's nice to have a little bit of a reprieve. Within those, we had 3 violent crimes, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those here in a minute. We had 2 endangerment crimes, which I'm also going to get into in more detail. A couple of property crimes and 1 drug crime, though. I remind you almost weekly that most of our other crimes are also related to drugs and alcohol. So when I list drug crimes, that means that's the primary offense in that case, even though a lot of the other offenses have something more serious and then somebody also has drugs on them. We break down our violent crime categories, particularly to track sex crimes and domestic violence. And this week we had 2 instances of family violence, domestic violence, which is something we have a whole team that focuses on. And one of those was non-family violence. And so digging a little bit deeper into those numbers, we continue to have some really unfortunate assault with a weapon cases. And these are a little bit routine. They grew a lot in post-COVID, and it seems like we've had a little bit of an uptick in some certain behavior in certain populations. We had what was a threat to shoot a domestic partner in a gun-related incident. We also had a knife attack down at the Poverello Center, and we have been seeing a little bit of an uptick in some of the violence in that area. I also want to be very compassionate that a vast majority of the clients of the Poverello Center are peaceful folks down on their luck trying to get back up. But there are a smaller number of people that are a real problem and take up a strong and big disproportionate amount of our criminal justice resources. And those are the folks that we try and spend more time on. The other sort of category of cases I wanted to mention is we also have had for years an uptick in chases with police vehicles and kind of hit-and-run driving activity. And this week we had a couple of different police chases that were just really sad and unfortunate. Luckily, nobody was seriously hurt, though one person was hit while on a scooter right before there was sort of it was a hit-and-run accident. That one didn't result in a chase, but we had another chase in the middle of town, I guess on the south side, and then one out by Hellgate School also the last weekend. And that individual just got picked up yesterday, so he hasn't been charged yet and is not actually on my report for this week because we'll be working on that today. So maybe I can shed some more light next week after we process those reports. But, you know, driving behavior continues to be the most dangerous way that people get hurt in our community. We talk a lot about gun violence and these knife attacks, and those are sad and unfortunate, but it's really these high-speed accidents that cause the most injuries with innocent bystanders in our community. So our police spend a lot of time working on that.
Now, it seems like I don't want to say it's kind of like a continuing drama, daytime drama. But is there any way that we as a population can reach out to the folks we know that drive too fast and say, hey, slow down, would you?
Yeah, I think you really should. I mean, we have some of the highest rates of traffic fatalities in the nation and some of the highest rates of drunk driving, and those go hand in hand. And that's really sad. Now, we've got a lot of roads. We have some bad weather in the winter, and that's true. But those aren't always the causes of our accidents. And, you know, sometimes you can be on a quiet road, and it's easy to get a lead foot. But those are the behaviors that cause accidents and really tragic injuries, and you don't want to be on that side of the wheel. All that being said, most of the cases that I'm talking about, Peter, aren't necessarily folks being late to work and going a little bit fast. We're talking about high-speed chases, people on methamphetamine that are eluding law enforcement or hit-and-run accidents while someone's drunk. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into those accidents, but we know what the big ones are. It's nighttime driving, drugs and alcohol, it's speed, and sometimes weather conditions. Those are really the things that lead to fatalities. And if we kind of remove those ingredients from the recipe, our roads can be a lot safer.
Now, I know all of our law enforcement officers, from police up to highway patrol, are highly trained in being able to do a chase without putting more people at risk.
They sure are. And, you know, they're some of the best drivers you're ever going to see. They go through extensive training to do so. But these chases can be really dangerous. And those are some of the things that law enforcement is constantly trying to balance. One, you've got somebody fleeing and they just committed a crime and they need to be stopped and we need to make sure that they're accountable. But they're also always trying to balance making sure that that chase itself doesn't result in other things. And that's a very precarious balance.
Matt, thanks so much for your report. It's always informative. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a great and safe weekend, sir.
You too. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much. All right, Nick, as we wrap up, we got about a minute left in this hour, but we have a special guest coming up next hour.
Yeah, David Sanders, he'll be joining us. He's been on with us before. He's running for the Public Service Commission, and there is a lot going on with the PSC right now, and David wanted to come on and share his thoughts of what's going on.
You bet. And he's actually peeking in the door right now. We're going to have him in the studio here taking your phone calls at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, David will be with us for the whole hour from 9 to 10, 10 after 9 till 10 o'clock. And we look forward to your phone calls. And for David, as he's running for a spot on the Montana State Public Service Commission District 5. And so he'll be with us and hope taking your phone call. So if you want to get in the queue, go ahead and give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're going to come right back with another hour of Talk Back right after this quick timeout. So stay with us.
Use it. opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you along. Hour number two of TalkBack underway now, and we have a special guest here in the studio this morning. Mr. David Sanders is not your first rodeo here on TalkBack.
But it is the first time that I've been here since you went statewide, Peter.
So yes, sir.
Before it was just KGVO and the Missoula Valley here, and now you're statewide and next step, the world.
You just have to talk a little louder. All right. So David is a Republican running for a Public Service Commission District 5. And we always like to reserve this first segment for you to talk about yourself and why you're running and why it's important to you.
Well, thank you very much for that opportunity, Peter. And thank you, Nick. It's good to be with both of you. The reason I'm running for the Public Service Commission is because I, as a former executive director of the Public Service Commission, as a fourth-generation Montanan, I became very disillusioned with what I've seen from the Public Service Commission over the last, call it 18 months. It's been very disturbing to see an organization go from being one of the exemplary organizations in the Montana state government when James Brown was the president and I was the executive director, to what it's devolved into now, which is literally just a political food fight. Every week there's something new, and there's more dishes being thrown on the floor and against the wall and at each other.
Sounds like tantrums.
It does sound like tantrums, and it looks like it. And so, unfortunately, there's a lot of important work for the Public Service Commission to do, and it's not getting done in any meaningful way. Because of the preoccupation with the political infighting and as I say, the food fight. And so I got tired of seeing that. I know that if you have the ability to go in and fix a situation, you should volunteer to do so. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm volunteering to run for the Public Service Commission because I know that I can fix it, that I can be a part of the solution. And will certainly not be part of the problem there.
But I will tell you that the Public Service Commission is an extraordinarily important. There are five districts, right? And each one it's very large, and so you have to do a lot of traveling. And the whole idea of the Public Service Commission is to help people be able to understand more about the services that they receive through the state and be able to afford them.
Absolutely, Peter. I was in Great Falls yesterday. As you say, it's a large district. So I was in Great Falls yesterday meeting with a group of people who were concerned. One gentleman who talked about a fivefold increase in his electric bill just to run his pumps on his farm. Another gentleman was talking about a situation with regard to the rail station there and railroad safety. That's another responsibility of the Public Service Commission. So there's a very set of serious and broad responsibilities. It's not just about electrical power regulation. There's a number of things that the PSC does, and it needs to be focused on its mission rather than focused on just the jostling and the fighting and the lawsuits and the back and forth that you see among the five commissioners now.
We're on budget billing at our house, and we went from like $225 a month, and it jumped up to like almost $280, $290 just overnight. And we go, how did that happen?
Well, one of the ways it happened is that for the most part, electrical power rates in Montana have gone up, among PSC-related utilities, gone up 39% in the last 3 years. And that's just not sustainable, and it's one of the reasons why I'm running.
All right. David Sanders joining us here in the studio this morning. We already have Skip and Steve both standing by to visit with you, and other phone lines are open. If you have a question for David, who's running for the Public Service Commission, give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us on this Friday edition of TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Thank you. Busy Bees Cleaning.
Dennis Bragg updating the forecast. A chance of showers and thunderstorms as we head into a wet weekend. We do have another shot of thunderstorms late this afternoon and evening after temps climb into the low 80s. Chance of precipitation about 60%. Rain and thunderstorms continue to rumble Friday night. Then rain likely Saturday and Sunday. The chance of precipitation as high as 90% at times. Rains will be heavy too. More than half an inch possible on Saturday. Unseasonably cool with highs barely into the 60s, lows in the 40s.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. And with your help, together we can end hunger. Join the movement at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Our special guest in the studio, David Sanders, a Republican running for a Public Service Commission District 5, and we've got folks already lined up to talk with you. Skip, you're up first. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Peter, and first I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend coming up and a safe one. I think it's just so wonderful that David's coming on right before Election Day. I do want to say that you sure covered some things that I would have said, David, certainly about the performance of the group as a whole, and I can tell you some specific individuals in the past year and a half at least in the Public Service Commission. It's like the last thing on their minds was performing their job description, and it makes me so mad because I watch their all their different meetings that they have. And I see, there's cases where Brian Bird himself, the CEO of Northwest Energy, it's like he has his own vote at the table. And I just hope that when you get elected and you walk into that office, that everybody can hit the ground running, because we have a very difficult time coming up in front of us in the state of Montana when it comes to all of our power issues. And I just hope the people in the state realize that if they have friends in District 5, do yourself a favor, because you're the candidate, and I know a lot about this subject. You're the candidate that's going to be able to bring this together and make sure that the PSC has our backs, doesn't walk on our backs, which is honest to God what they've been doing. I saw you report to the administration committee on a channel that I get a couple weeks ago, and you brought up some really interesting things that were very compelling to that committee, and it had to do with actually your opponent, Annie, and her presidency situation as to her candidacy, and it reflects on all elected offices in the state to make sure you cross the T's and dot the I's when you're going to run for office. I hope that you can take off and explain that to us, because it's a legal situation that reflects on basically the whole electoral process. And so, sir, good luck on Tuesday. I hope Region 5 is smart enough to make sure we elect you to get back to the PSC and straighten out something right away, because we have a lot of things that are coming up. Very important.
Skip, thank you very much. Thanks for the call. David, your response, please.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Skip. Yes, I did. I was asked by the chair to testify at the State Administration and Veterans Affairs Committee the other day. And what I did was I outlined some really problematic findings that came forward from regarding my opponent's eligibility for this election, even. As you know, Skip, and as most of our listeners might know, there's a statutory requirement that each commissioner live in the district that they're trying to represent.
That makes sense.
It does make sense, and it's the law. And so, unfortunately, my opponent, Commissioner Bukacek, she claims to live in some apartments above the PSC offices. Currently, she recently made a change of address, and she filed that as her address in her official oath of candidacy that she filed with the Secretary of State. But at nearly the same time, she filed for her homestead property tax exemption from her actual home, which she owns in Marion, Montana, which is at least 20 miles outside of the westernmost boundary of the district. She actually lives in Commissioner Jennifer Fielder's district, and that's where her primary residence is. Her medical practice, which she practices several days a week, is still in Kalispell. So she is not using that legal standard of her place of nightly repose in Helena. In fact, she lives in Flathead County, and in fact, west of the district boundary. Even her office address, which she somehow used as her previous voting address, which is also not legal and technically constitutes voter fraud, even that address is outside of the district boundary. So how she can claim running in this district, even though she doesn't live in it, is a little bit problematic. And so it's going to be a problem when it comes to, I think it's already a problem in terms of what the voters have learned about this.
So I'm sure that you have had the opportunity to challenge her about this. And what is her response?
Well, I haven't talked to her directly about this because recently she's been avoiding any direct confrontations with me because it would smack of a debate. But given that, she basically says, well, it really doesn't make any difference. I say I live at the apartments above the PSC, and therefore I do. But the fact that she only even shows up to the PSC for work on average, one, maximum 2 days per week. It's a full-time job.
Right.
And you get a full-time six-figure state salary, but she considers it a part-time job on top of her medical practice. And I can assure you, I don't think that's right. I think most of the voters in the 5th District don't think that's right. I intend to work full-time, and in fact, as my employment history shows, when I was the executive director, even I worked overtime at that job because there's a lot of work to do. There's 7 different industries to regulate, and it has to be done well and professionally and intelligently and thoroughly. And she's not able to do it.
We're going to come right back, and we have Steve waiting to visit with you. Several other phone lines are open, by the way. If you have a question for David Sanders, a Republican running for a Public Service Commission District 5, and the phone number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks so much for joining us on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after this.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Quite the sight in Lolo late last night as the old Lolo School was moved across town to a new home for the first time in more than a century. The school, built in the early 1900s, was all that remained of the historic site, which was sold after the district moved to a new campus 2 years ago. Developers had razed all the other buildings last winter to make way for a big housing project. And when they decided the school didn't fit into those plans, they donated it. And the community stepped forward to raise about $50,000 to move the donated building to the Holt Heritage Center just up Highway 12. Last night, Highway 83 was shut down as the building, complete with its bell tower, was moved about a mile to its new home up Highway 12. The building will be situated there and eventually with a bit of renovation and will be open to the public. This is the Montana State News Network.
Are you looking for a safe place to call home in the Treasure State? A new report from Safewise reveals that Libby is officially Montana's safest city for 2026, climbing to the number one spot. Hardin secured the number two position after a dramatic turnaround, slashing its violent crime by 66% and property crime by 62% over the last year. Rounding out the top five are Whitefish, Miles City, and Dillon. While official FBI data shows an overall uptick in crime across Montana, the report highlights a major gap between statistics and public perception. 63% of Montanans say they feel safe. That's well above the national average of 48%. When it comes to protection, locals have clear preferences. Firearms, security cameras, and guard dogs top the list in home defense. Montana hunters have until Monday to submit applications for several upcoming big game seasons. FWP reminding hunters that the deadline to apply for swan, sandhill crane, antelope, and elk bee licenses is coming up on Monday, June 1st. Applications can be completed online at an FWP office or through a local license ambassador location. This is the Montana State News Network.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own vacuum.
You said you'd never stop listening to your music.
Do your happy dance, do your happy dance. Yeah, that's right.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
You said you'd never give in to demands.
Two kids meals. And a chocolate shake.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. And no amount of time is okay to leave your child in a car by themselves.
Long line today.
Mm-hmm. Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Amen. We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. Peter Christian here, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, and we are honored to have David Sanders with us, running for Public Service Commission District 5 as a Republican, and Steve has been waiting through the break. Steve, thank you for holding, sir. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Mr. Sanders, I'd like to speak to the listeners across the state who are struggling right now. I'm neither a Republican nor Democrat. Frankly, I see huge problems with both parties. But I know you're a Republican, and I know you talk a big game about rate increases. I just want to educate folks across the state. We've seen two very significant rate increases in the last 2.5 years from Northwestern Energy that the PSC and its commissioners have approved. Most recently, a 12% rate increase, and before that, a 28% increase. So when Peter talks about how, you know, he's struggling to pay his bills that have increased radically, those are just two examples. There's also been another example where Northwest Energy has charged $20 flat fee on all house meters, which are like if you have an extra meter for your garage or a barn and you're paying $7 a month, all of a sudden you're paying $27 a month. Now, I bring this up, sir, because people are struggling across the state to pay their bills. If you talk to any of the common folk in Flathead Valley, I'm sure you'll recognize that. In Lolo, we had a food bank open up a couple weeks ago, and there were cars, 20, 30 cars deep in line of our neighbors waiting for free food in Lolo, Montana, if you can believe that. One of the things that is really frustrating is the PSC seems to be a rubber stamp for all rate increases, especially when you just do a simple Google search and you look at the salaries that the executive team at Northwest Energy is making. The CEO makes over $5 million a year. I would have to guess Peter's salary is somewhere around $100,000 a year, I'm guessing.
Nah.
That's 50 times. That's okay. Whatever. Sorry. It's 50 to 70 times his annual take-home pay. When you look at the vice president of the board and on the board, they make $1.7 million. The entire executive team makes more than $1 million a year. I'm all for people making money, sir, but when you're a regulated monopoly and you have a commission like you all do, who are only supposed to approve prudent expenses as per the law, and every time we turn around, we see a James Brown or whomever, I mean, he's not on the board anymore, but used to be, approving 28 and 12% rate increases on a community across Montana that the average take-home pay is around, you know, somewhere between $60,000 and $50,000 for Montanans. And, you know, we're upset. We're sick of the language y'all use, especially Jim Brown when he comes on this show and does his monthly advertisement for himself. So you being endorsed by him isn't necessarily a great endorsement, because those with, you know, 30 seconds can Google and see what the votes have been, what the take-home pay has been that y'all are approving increases to support. You know, and while you talk a good game about rate reduction and pushing back on these insane increases, you know, the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll see, so that when you come on and when you're running for the next office, which it seems like the PSC is just a springboard for another office for someone, we'll see if you actually have reduced rates. I can assure you James Brown has not done that in the insurance commission. In fact, every rate increase we've seen there has been very significant. So, Peter, I'm sorry to rant, but it's frustrating when you hear, you know, just this, like, campaign speak, and then you get cheerleaders like Skip calling in, and there's no one from our community that's struggling to pay their bills represented here. And frankly, a lot of us are pissed at the Republicans. We're tired of it. James Brown's busy giving away land exchanges on the land board, you know, as fast as he can, so that he can lock out people out of their public lands. I mean, just another example. I know I'm spewing, but thanks, Peter. I appreciate the time and opportunity to educate the listeners.
Sayas, thanks for the call. Well, go ahead, please.
Yeah,
David.
Steve, I'm gonna agree with some of what you said, but certainly not all of it, because I think you got a little bit off the rails there. But in terms of the actual rate increases, you're absolutely right. The rate increases that have gone on at the Public Service Commission that they've approved for Northwestern, for MDU, for virtually anybody coming to seek a rate increase from the Public Service Commission, the PSC has, especially recently, just become a rubber stamp. I will tell you that when I was there in 2024 and James Brown was the president, there was not a rate increase that was approved during that time. I know that very specifically. There were rate increases before I got there and rate increases afterwards, but not when I was the executive director. So you need to get your facts straight, first and foremost, on that. Secondly, when it comes to the other rate increases that have taken place, I think you're right. I don't think proper scrutiny has been applied to those rate increases, and those might need to be reviewed. And frankly, the entire way that the PSC manufactures rates, if you will, or that they accept rate proposals that come from the utilities needs to be reexamined. It needs to be reexamined in a way that actually goes more towards performance-based rate making and away from this cost-plus pricing model that we use right now. You wouldn't cost-plus price anything. You wouldn't cost-plus price how your lawn is mowed. You wouldn't say, well, figure out what it costs you, and then I'll pay you a guaranteed rate of return on whatever your investment is there. No, you would get the best deal you can, and that's what Montanans deserve.
We're going to come right back. Stay with us. More of Talk Back with David Sanders. Phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Don't be. Every weekend, Diane Beck and Becky Peterson, the Beck and Beck team at Windermere Real Estate, present Missoula Real Estate Today on News Talk KGVO. The Beck and Beck team provides years of local experience for your real estate transaction and bring you guests that provide useful information on products and services available in our community on Missoula Real Estate Today. Saturday mornings from 8 till 8:30 and replayed Sunday mornings from 10:30 till 11 on News Talk KGVO, FM 98.3 and AM 1290, and on the free KGVO mobile app. app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back, but this Friday, May 29th. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and especially David Sanders, a Republican running for Public Service Commission District 5. Folks are lined up to talk with you, David. So, JR, good morning. You're on with David Sanders. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wish the PSC had some control over electric co-ops in Montana. I live up in the Mission Valley. We have Mission Valley Power here, and our rates have went up 50% in the last 3 years, and what's unbelievable, we're 50% higher than Missoula co-op electric rates. It's ridiculous. And one of the reasons is we have Kerr Dam in our backyard. Now it's called SKQ Dam because the tribe, they gave it to the tribe. We used to get all of our electricity from that dam. Now we get less than 5%. 95% of it goes to Oregon and Washington. And from what I hear, a lot of it goes to data centers, Bitcoin operations, et cetera. And we get a piddly 5%. And, you know, it's because the tribal council, all they care about is the almighty dollar. And Kerr Dam, when it was under, PP&L, I think, they paid $2 million a year in property taxes. 60% of that went to the schools. And once the tribe bought it on pennies for a dollar, they refused to pay any property taxes, even though hundreds of their kids go to school here in Lake County. It's just ridiculous. And back when Northwestern was trying to buy all the hydroelectric dams in Montana, they valued Kerr Dam at $230 million. That's what they were willing to pay for it. But some judge made PP&L sell it to the tribe for $18 million. And so I've got tribal members telling me that the dam is now making $28 to $40 million a year, yet they can't pay any property taxes, and they can't give us any electricity here at Mission Valley Power, which is insane. And we can't do anything about it. So there you go.
Thanks for the call, sir. David.
Yeah, well, JR, you're exactly right. And one of the problems that we have in the state, it shouldn't be a problem, but we've made it into one, and that is we're a very resource-rich state in terms of electrical generation capacity. You know, we have mountains, and those mountains generally in the winters, except for this last one, have a lot of snow on them, and there's runoff, and we have rivers, and we have dams. And so we should be able to use that kind of baseload power as a key part of our power supply in this state. Unfortunately, that whole situation with the water compact up where JR is talking about is a huge huge problem for that region. It's made it a long-standing problem. When Montana Power went out of business, we had that horrible deregulation debacle under Governor Roscoe. We ended up repaying for all of those dams that we could get, not the one that he's talking about, but so Montanans have in essence had to pay for those twice. We need to have a public service commission that has the interests of Montanans first and foremost in their minds. And unfortunately, we don't have that right now. I'm afraid to report that to our listening audience, but I'm hoping that we will very, very soon. And I intend to always have the best interests of Montanans first and foremost In my mind, as I cast votes on the Public Service Commission.
One quick question before we take a quick commercial break. How will you accomplish that? Obviously, there are five public service commissioners, five districts, and so if you are elected, you're going to be representing a lot of people. So how are you going to get that done?
Well, you only represent one-fifth of the people of the state. It's 220,000 people, roughly. Right. But there is an important thing that I've noticed in my time in government, both here in Montana and in Washington, D.C., and that is that leadership makes all the difference in the world. Despite what Steve may think, I will tell you that James Brown was the best leader of the Public Service Commission, I believe, in that organization's history. And that I intend to walk that same walk and try to lead the Public Service Commission. So I do think I can build a consensus of commissioners towards the idea of refocusing on our mission, staying out of these petty political food fights, and doing the work for the people of Montana. That's what they're there to do.
Our guest here in the studio, David Sanders, running for a District 5 Public Service Commission. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. Jeff is waiting on the line to visit with you. And several other phone lines are open if you'd like to give us a call, 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
If you're a local, no matter who we call family, when we choose to get the flu shot, we're protecting them. That's especially true for those who are 65 and older and people with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, or stroke. Getting a flu shot every year decreases your chances of getting the flu. If you do get the flu, the vaccine makes you less likely to be hospitalized or die from it. Protect yourself and the ones you love by getting your flu shot. Learn more at heart.org/flu.
Childhood cancer is the leading cause of death by disease for children in our country. We can do something about that. We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org.
Hey, welcome back. This is the Friday edition of Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back. Our guest in the studio, David Sanders, a Republican running for Public Service Commission, District 5, and Jeff has been waiting through the break. So, Jeff, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning again. Good morning, David. First of all, before I get started, I want to let you know our ballots are in and got our votes. So hopefully that matters for something statewide.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said I'm very grateful to you, Jeff. Thank you so much for that.
Well, you know, I like to support honorable people. And the late, great Ronald Reagan said, it's not that our liberal friends are ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. And one of those, I think, it was Steve, exemplifies that. He did some ad hominems on James Brown that are completely unwarranted. James Brown did bring integrity to the PUC. Before James Brown, it was a food fight. After James Brown, it became a food fight. While he was there, it was a professional organization. So anybody who disputes that is just ignorant, in my mind. I believe you would bring the very same to it. And I want to put stump what JR said. In terms of Mission Valley Power, we moved into our house exactly 9 years ago this month. When we moved in, we had two charges, a meter charge and a kilowatt-hour charge. And our monthly bill was $209 if we used three kilowatts. I just used a standard 3 kilowatts. After 5 rate increases, we now have 2 additional meter charges that now total $28.50. And 2 tier changes and a demand charge. And altogether, those charges have raised our bill 90%. What used to be $209 is now $397. mess in Mission Valley Power. And I believe it's probably the same for Missoula Electric Co-op and all the other co-ops around the state. And my question for you is, given that folks didn't like the approval of the Northwest Energy increases, what would have happened if PUC had said no? What if they had disapproved the rate increase? Would there have been a suit? Would there have been legal fees incurred? Can you run us through what that scenario would look like?
Yeah, I think, Jeff, and that's a great question. Normally what would happen in something like that is Northwestern or whatever the utility is, they would put together a proposal. They did in this case. One of the things that they wanted to do that they put in this proposal was to have the Public Service Commission charge customers for the – and the biggest charge in this increase – was for the Yellowstone County Generating Station, the natural gas plant in Laurel. And that plant, they originally submitted for a pre-approval process with the PSC, and then they withdrew it before the end of the process for whatever reason, thinking, you know, we're going to end up getting the whatever rate we want to out of the PSC anyhow. So we don't need pre-approval for this. We're just going to go ahead and build the plant. And they did on this cost-plus pricing model. And sure enough, there were huge cost overruns and delays in opening the plant. There were some engineering problems from what I understand. And those additional costs got proposed to pass along to the ratepayers. Well, the PSC, for the most part, agreed to those rate increases. Certainly, my opponent agreed to every single part of the rate increase. And at the end of the day, she ended up abstaining on the vote on the final rule, which actually ended up never officially happening. But she ended up abstaining on that vote because it wasn't high – the rate increase wasn't high enough.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding about this. She actually had introduced a motion to add an additional and inexplicable $16.3 million onto the backs of Montana ratepayers to go into the pockets of Northwestern Energy for that plant. Now, fortunately, she couldn't get a sufficient second in the Public Service Commission because it just was totally unjustified. But she wanted that additional $16.3 million somehow to go to Northwestern and to be taken out of in terms of rate increases for Montanans within Northwestern service area. So there's, you know, it is true that energy prices for the most part have been increasing. But it also is true that we need to have a creative and a very, very sharp-penciled look at all of these expenses that goes into the that go into these plants, because there's no way that your rates should increase by 97%, and there's no way that the rates for Northwestern ratepayers should go up by 39% over the last 3 years. And I'm telling you right now that I think that I can build a coalition of folks to bring new scrutiny to the rate structure in Montana, the new rate structure and the way that the PSC will evaluate rate cases going forward. And I think it's not only desperately needed, it's long overdue.
We got about a minute and a half left before a quick break, but before a commercial break. But I want to ask you, what are the machinations that involve that go into that decision?
Well, as I say, Peter, it's sort of they've used a cost plus pricing model to generate the rate increases that are proposed by the utilities. They come to the Public Service Commission. Then the Public Service Commission is supposed to scrutinize those rates.
Right.
Our staff actually at the PSC does a pretty good job of doing so. But there's been a chilling effect on the staff because they think that no matter what they scrutinize in terms of a rate, that the commissioners are going to overrule them anyhow just to rubber stamp whatever it is Northwestern's asking for, and that they'll backdoor the staff that way. And it's a horrible situation that our commissioners put the professional staff at the PSC in, and it's a horrible position that they put the people of Montana and the ratepayers.
We're going to come right back with more with David Sanders. He'll be with us till 10 o'clock. We have Diane, Dan, and Susan. Oh, we'll try to fit them all in. They want to visit with you, sir, is running for the Public Service Commission District 5. And again, the phone lines, we still have a couple of phone lines open, but not too much time. So it's 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Going to come right back with to wrap things up with David Sanders right after this quick timeout. Friday edition of Talk Back coming up into the final segment, and thanks so much for joining us, everybody, and a special guest, David Sanders, joining us here in the studio. Diane, you've been waiting. Go ahead. You're on with David.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I have been in touch with the Public Service Commission for years regarding CenturyLink. This is without a doubt the worst utility company on the planet. The commission's response to my many attempts tells me that the commission's authority is focused on whether the company meets minimum service quality and safety standards set in law and rule. We cannot require them to staff a local call center or design their customer service systems in a particular way. Back in February, I contacted them, and that's when this response came in, because I didn't have landline telephone service for 11 days. 9 days ago, I lost the internet again. Last night at 9 o'clock, I lost the internet again, which I still don't have. They give me one excuse after another. CenturyLink used to be located in Kalispell, Montana, right on Main Street. We could walk into their company and pay bills, do whatever. Now we can't even talk to a human because their company is located somewhere on the other side of the planet. And something needs to be done about this. I pay money for this utility, and I expect to receive some kind of decent service. So what can be done?
Well, actually, when I was at the Public Service Commission, we were getting a number of complaints about service from CenturyLink customers.
And yeah, so you should go on Yelp and find all kinds of them.
Yep, and we were getting a lot directly into the office, so we went ahead and launched an investigation and then ended up in a number of conversations with CenturyLink executives. But I think the problem you point to is exactly right. Is the PSC has the authority to enforce only, and it has rules to enforce only, sort of minimum standards of service. What needs to happen, I think, in this case specifically, is, again, we need a performance-based approach so that companies like CenturyLink, companies like Northwestern Energy, can actually have a performance-based approach, and they have the ability and are incentivized to produce higher levels of service, not just the same levels of service for more and more money, or even lower levels of service like you're receiving. The situation is not sustainable. And frankly, when you were without landline service for 11 days, those are 11 days that you were without 911 service, I assume, as well.
Exactly.
Is that right? And that's
right.
Honestly, that's just not acceptable and shouldn't be acceptable to the PSC or any company doing business in landline telecommunications in Montana.
And then when we're without service, we have to go to them and try to get a credit on our bill. They don't automatically offer it, nor do they offer an explanation as to why or what happened. The company apparently has been taken over by Lumen, whoever they are.
Right.
They're out of another state, and they're just not functioning for Montanans.
Right. We're almost out of time. And what we like to do, thank you for your call, by the way. What we like to do is the last couple of minutes we want to give to you. Explain why people should vote for you for the Public Service Commission in District 5, if you don't mind.
Well, thank you, Peter, and I appreciate the opportunity, and I certainly enjoyed the exchange with your callers. I will say that the reason that I've run for the Public Service Commission that I'm running this time is to provide better service to the people of Montana. I think sometimes our public service commissioners who are currently in office forget the simple fact that the first two words in public service commission are public service. And so they need to focus on the level of service that's being provided and being able to provide those services affordably, do it in a way that's accountable to the people of Montana, and do it in a way that these services and the Public Service Commission's decision-making itself is accessible to the people of Montana.
Now, you're running for the office that is actually contains Missoula, right?
Yes, there's it's funny. The way they redrew the districts,
right.
It's part of Missoula, part of Kalispell,
okay.
Part of Great Falls, part of Helena. So these major metropolitan areas in Montana have been divided up. But, yes, there is a part of Missoula in this district.
How can folks support you if they want to?
They can go to www.sanders4montana.com.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Nick.
Mr. Nick, what's coming up on Monday's show, sir, if you don't mind?
We'll start with open phones, and then the second hour will be with Professor Rob Nadelson. He's a constitutional scholar and author in sponsorship with the Mountain States Policy Center. The Epic Times is in the middle of publishing his 6 essay series celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. So he'll talk about those when he comes on and take your calls.
You bet. And again, thanks so much to David Sanders for being with us. And most of all, thanks to you guys for asking such great questions. We appreciate every single one of you. And we hope that you'll get out there and make it a great weekend. Have fun. Hopefully, starting to cloud up a little bit. Hopefully, we'll get some more sunshine for the weekend. Get yourself out there. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock, right here on Talkback.